1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, we have our text and our title also. It says, God is faithful. God is faithful. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know of anything better than that. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't think of anything better than just God is faithful. You know, He'll never let you down, never has let me down. I've let Him down many times, but He's always there. He's faithful. God is faithful. Father, I pray You'll bless the preaching. Thank You for everyone who's here, and we know there's no accidents. We're all here on purpose, and I pray You'll speak to our hearts. Thank You for being faithful. Be faithful now, again, as You always are, to convict, to speak to our hearts, to change us, to make us what we ought to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, I think I came up with my own quote. I'm not sure. I wrote it down as my own anyway. And that is, faithful folks don't work at being faithful. They just are. And, you know, God's like that. He just is. He's just always faithful. He's always there, always faithful. Look at Proverbs 25:19. And we will be going several places in our Bibles today, so I trust you have yours. Proverbs 29 and verse 19. And we see a definition or an idea of faithfulness. And I like this. Proverbs 25:19. The Bible says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. In other words, we get an idea of that tooth that is not broken and that foot that is not out of joint. Those are like faithful. What do you mean? In other words, you know, the normal tooth, you chew on it, but you don't think about it. You just count on it. You chew and chew and chew. You take a bite into an apple and you don't worry about it. You bite into a T-bone steak and you don't even, yeah, glory. Revival's breaking out. But you don't even worry about it. You just chew on it and that tooth is going to hold. You know it. You don't worry about it. We walk. We don't think anything about our foot being out of joint. If it's not, we just walk. And we don't think about it. And we go on. You know, the Christian life can be that way for you as far as God is concerned. You just always can count on Him. You always can count. You don't have to worry about God not doing His part. You never have to be concerned. You can always count on God. He is faithful. I want to give you some points here. We're going to go very, very quickly. Psalm 89:8 is our first point. And that is faithful in comparison. Faithful, you know, you compare God to other gods, and when I think of other gods, I'm using the small g kind of gods. In comparison, the Bible says in Psalm 89:8, it says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? I mean, there is no comparison to God, absolutely none. Real quick, Psalm 115, verse 1. Go back there, Psalm 115, verse 1, and we're moving real fast here. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy, for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. You know, is your God something like that? He has eyes, but he can't see. Ears, but it can't hear. Mouth, but it can't speak. Nose, but it can't smell. The Bible says here, they're just like you. There is no help from them at all. The Bible says about our God, He's a God at hand and not a God that's afar off. He's a God you can call on. He's a God you can speak to. He's a God that will answer. He's a God that will help. Hey, today, listen, if your God, small g, is money, they say we're in a recession. How's your God doing? Hello? If your God today is sports, for example, and maybe some athlete or something, try calling Him when you have a need. Try calling that guy you got posters in your bedroom. Hey, teenager, try calling that fella when you have a problem. Oh, he just signed a multi-million dollar contract. But you have a financial need. Try calling him. You're trying to get food on the table. Try calling that billionaire. Yeah, see, oh, I'm so glad our God. In comparison, there is no comparison, right? No comparison. Okay, maybe you worship yourself. That's humanism.
That's what we're being taught in school, to worship ourselves. You know, man is the measure of all things. And so let's say you look in the mirror and you kind of think you're something special. Look at our panic over a little teeny, you can't even see it, virus that's attacking your body. I'm glad my God, nothing attacks him. No, they can attack, but he's big. Amen. He's faithful in comparison. I'll be honest with you, if I worship my body, I'd be real discouraged because it keeps letting me down more and more. You know what I'm talking about, folks? Yeah, it's letting me down every day. It just keeps letting me down more and more and more. He's faithful in comparison. Number two, he's faithful in creation. 1 Peter 4:19, it says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." You know, God's creation is complete. There are no flaws in God's creation. And God created man so that man could live. We don't have to be plugged in. Isn't that good? I mean, I like that. I'm so glad that, they talk about the whatever that bunny is, the Duracell bunny or whatever it is. He just keeps on going, keeps on. Look at us. Is it ever ready? I don't know what it is. But he just keeps on going, keeps it. Well, hey, you know what? You keep on going too. Now we need to take a nap every now and then. Amen. And I plan on doing that this afternoon. But we just keep on going. You know, we don't have a cord that we have to plug in and get recharged. You know, God just keeps it all going. You know, you don't even think about your heart beating right now, do you? You're not even thinking about it. You know, thump, 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 thump. You don't do that. Can you imagine if we did that? How bothered we'd be throughout the day. He's a faithful creator, isn't he? He's a faithful creator. All the cells are doing their thing, and all the everything is doing what it's supposed to do. And I was able to just now do that. Isn't that something? That's good, isn't it? And everything's just happening. It's just all going on. And God is a faithful creator, and he gives us food, and he gives us water, and he gives us oxygen, and he's provided all that for us. He's a faithful God, isn't he? He put us here on this earth and put the earth at the right tilt so we would neither burn up or freeze to death. Now in Michigan, we think we're freezing to death most of the year. But you know, God is faithful. He put us right where we need. Thank God we're not on Mercury. You talk about a suntan, be bad. Thank God we're not on Pluto. Well, they've discontinued Pluto. We'd be in real trouble, wouldn't we? But before that, we would have froze to death. Amen. He's faithful in his creation. He didn't, you know, you think of, I watch kids, you know, they'll play house or something like that, and they'll do all these things. And I remember playing army and having little soldiers and stuff, and maybe I might be able to create some kind of a situation. And I was terrible to them sometimes. I mean, seriously, I was bad to those things sometimes. My Creator, he's faithful. He's faithful. You say, well, you're bald, and he failed in your... No, you guys with hair is where the failure is, not in the bald head. It's beautiful. But God is faithful in comparison. He's faithful in creation. Number three, he's faithful in his covenant. Amen. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." He is faithful in his covenant. In other words, he never breaks his word. Hey, have you signed a contract lately? Have you bought a car? Have you leased a car? Have you bought a house? Have you bought anything? You know, we have to sign paper after paper after paper after paper. You know why? Because people lie. That's why. They want to find out who you are and all about you and everything else. Why? Somebody lied. You can't just shake hands anymore. Okay, I want to buy this off of you. Let's shake on it. Here's what I'm going to do. Let's shake. You can't do that nowadays. Well, you got to sign contract after contract after. You know what? That's man. God's never lied. God never lies. He is faithful to his covenant. He's faithful. He always keeps his word. I like what it says in 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." He cannot deny. You know, if his word is at stake, then he's at stake because he is his word. Amen. He is the word. And he can't deny it. He cannot deny himself. You say, "Why? Well, you know, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but I'm having a hard time really believing." Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you are his child. If you're saved, you are born again. If you're saved, you are going to heaven. If you're saved, it's all based on you doing what he said to do. He won't break his word. Now, you may tremble on the rock, but the rock doesn't tremble. Amen? And he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Can't do it. Oh, the devil will point at you and say, oh, you did this or you did that. You're lost. You're not saved. And cause you to doubt and go through all. Hey, listen to me. It's based on what he says. And his covenant is always true. He doesn't go back on his word ever, ever. He is faithful in his covenant. Number four, he's faithful in his cleansing. Oh, I love this. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful in his cleansing. You don't ever have to worry about God. You know what? And in his cleansing, he doesn't miss any spots. You know how your parents always said to you, did you check, did you wash behind your ears? You know, have you ever tried to really look behind your ears? It's tough. It really is. Yeah, especially some folks because your ears are huge. Anyway, but it's tough to see back there. And let me tell you, God's never missed a spot in the cleansing that we call salvation. Never. He's never missed a spot in when I go to him and say, God, I failed you. I sinned against you. Please forgive me. It's always cleansed. Always clean. Amen. Clean enough to enter into the Holy of Holies. Amen. Clean enough to come boldly to the throne of grace. Clean enough that God says that I'm righteous. Amen. He always cleans. Amen. And he's faithful in his cleansing. He's faithful. To confess is to say the same thing as. And then he does the cleaning. Amen. When I confess and I say, Lord, this is sin. I did it. I'm sorry. God, please forgive me. The blood of Jesus Christ makes all that possible to be clean. Amen. And faithful. Every time. Every time. I've had people say to me, well, preacher, you don't understand. Here's what I did. Oh, God can clean that up. Preacher, you don't understand. This is the unpardonable. This is the worst. No, no. His blood can cleanse. You're here today and you're not saved. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how bad. Doesn't matter if everybody looks at, oh, that's wicked. That's terrible. Hey, my God cleans everything up when you come to him. And he cleanses it all. He gets behind your ears. Amen. Amen. Faithful in his cleansing. Number five. He is faithful in giving confidence. I love this. 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. Who shall also confirm you unto the end that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That gives me confidence. Not in me, in him. Amen. What's he say? He says, who shall also confirm you unto the end that ye may be blameless? He confirms that I'm blameless. Well, does that mean you've never done wrong? Well, I've done a lot of wrong. But he looks at me as he looks at his son, Jesus Christ. He's not looking at Doug Rogers. He's looking at Jesus. And you know what? Jesus is blameless. Jesus is blameless. And because of that, I'm blameless. And ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That gives me confidence. And God's faithful, it says, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his son. Hey, listen to me. I'm so blameless, I can fellowship with his son. We're joint heirs together. Whew, that's good stuff. And because of that, the word, come boldly. Boldly. What's that mean? That means with confidence. It doesn't mean cocky. It means I don't have to come and be ashamed of my sin. My sin's under the blood. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to him. Come boldly to the Lord. And not ashamed as we come to him. Oh, I understand. There's a humility that we need to maintain. And by the way, as soon as you're in his presence, that humility will be there. It was with Isaiah. And I'm just saying this. You can come, though, with confidence, knowing God's faithful. He's faithful. Hey, you know, as you come to him, there's no trap door there. Hello? You don't have to watch the ground where you walk as you enter into his presence. There's no little trick there. He's not going to drop you down somewhere. You just come to him like a child comes to their father and sits on his lap. Amen. He faithful in giving us confidence to come to Him. Hey, when is the last time you went to Him and cried, Abba, Father? When is the last time? You know, like a child will climb onto the lap of their parent and they're not afraid of anything and that's the place of safety. My God wants me to have that confidence. That confidence. Oh, yeah, but you don't understand what I've done. I'm telling you, He'll clean you up. And He'll give you that confidence, that boldness. He's faithful in comparison to other gods. He's faithful in creation. He's faithful in His covenant. He's faithful in cleansing. He's faithful in giving confidence. Number six, He is faithful in His call. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says this, "Faithful is He that calleth you who also will do it." You know what frustrates me the most about folks who are called to do something and they never do it? Is you're not trusting God to do it. Faithful is He that calleth you. Well, God called me to do this, but I think I was mistaken. Or no, you just don't trust God to do it. But my Bible says He will do it. He calls and He enables. Listen, God is not going to call anyone to do what you can't do. He's not going to do that. Well, God called me to preach. God called me to be a missionary. And I wonder about that. And I'm not sure. I can't do that. Let me tell you something. If God called you, you can do that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, God called me to give this to my faith promise in October when we had our missions conference. And God called me to give this faith promise. And I'm really struggling. I just can't. Now listen to me. It's by faith anyway. And if God called you, let Him provide it. Amen. He will. He will. Amen. I remember when I was coaching as a new Christian and coaching in our Christian school of our church, and God was working in my life and working in Brenda's life. We were 19 years old, and I was coaching the Christian school, and God called me to preach. The one thing I should never have done, I told the preacher. I'll never forget that day. I said, Dr. Goff, I said, God's called me to preach. He said, wow, that's great. I'm going to get you to preach. And I said, why would you do that? Well, he said, if God called you to preach, you got to preach. And I said, well, maybe not yet. And he said, oh, yeah, we're going to get you up, buddy. Let me tell you, I was absolutely terrified. Most of you know my testimony. Before I got saved, I cussed like a sailor, worse than a sailor. I'd embarrass sailors. I invented some of the cuss words you use. But let me tell you, I was absolutely terrified. First of all, I was terrified coaching at a Christian school because those are tense situations, as Brother Calvin can tell you. It can be tense, and my language was terrible, but I just would have to sit and, like I do now. But when he told me I was going to preach, I was terrified. Because I knew if I stood up in front of anybody and spoke, I'd cuss them out. I just knew that. I knew I'd get so mad at the devil, I'd cuss him out. Amen. I was terrified. Now, I'm serious about this thing. I was absolutely petrified. I've never been afraid of an audience. I've never been necessarily afraid of a crowd. I was afraid of saying the right thing to a crowd. But God called me to preach, and I knew God called me to preach. And I remember before I got up and spoke, I spoke at a... I'm going to say it was like at the end of the year, the sports thing, or maybe the youth program in the church had that, and they asked me to preach, and I'm telling you, I was terrified, but I knew one thing, and it was enough to know God called me to do this. And I remember saying to God, God, You are the one that called me. If it's a mistake, it's Your mistake, not mine. And you got to keep those cuss words out of my mouth. I'm getting up in front of all these people. I invited my mom, who was not saved at the time. I wanted her to come. And I didn't, but I did. You know how you do that, and you wish you wouldn't have. But I was terrified. But you know, whoever God calls, He enables. And I'm going to tell you something. I stood up there, and something kicked in and cleaned up my mouth, cleaned up my thoughts. And from that day on, I won't say that I don't hear, if somebody uses a wrong word, I don't necessarily hear it, but I don't think those things anymore. It's a miracle of God, because God called and God will enable. Quit running from His call. He's faithful in His call. He'll take care of what He needs to take care of. Well, I know God called me to be a missionary. God called me to do this. God, do what He told you to do. He is faithful in his call. He didn't mess up. He didn't make a mistake. You're the mistake. You're making the mistake by not trusting his faithfulness. You can always count on him in his call. Number 7, he's faithful in communication. Psalm 143, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. In thy faithfulness, answer me. You know, communication with God is never stopped because of God. It's stopped because of us. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I mean, we're the ones who don't pray. We're the ones who don't talk to him. You have not because what? Ye ask not. I mean, you say today, well, I'm a Christian and I just, God's just not doing anything for me. Let me tell you something. He will. He'll talk to you. He'll communicate with you. Just go to him. You know what's amazing about God's faithfulness in our communication with one another? 2 o'clock in the morning, he's there. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he's there. Wherever I am, he's there. I talked to God. We were down in Florida. What a wicked place. No. But we were down in Florida. And you know what? I talked to him just the same as talking to him here. I've got a sheepskin in my office, and I talked to God there. And I've got down in Florida, I didn't have my sheepskin, but I had places where I could just walk and talk with him. I could talk with him with seniors around. Isn't that something? I'll tell you, it's a blessing. Some of you need to tell your face it's a blessing, because I'm not totally convinced looking at you. Faithful in communication. Wherever you are, whatever's going on, whatever time it is, doesn't matter, can be raining, can be snowing, can be hailing, could be a tornado, could be the sun shining. It's just like the psalmist said, in thy faithfulness, answer. Answer me, God. You're faithful always. You're always there. You always will communicate with me as long as I'm not messed up somewhere. Faithful in communication. Number 8, he's faithful in consistency. I like this. Psalm 119, verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. All generations. Consistency. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth the same yesterday, today, forever. No change. God's consistent. Always. Always. He's consistent. He says, I change not. He's the same to your great-great-great-grandpa as he is to you. The rules are the same. Everything about God is the same. He doesn't change ever. Ever. Somebody says, well, you're old-fashioned. God's pretty old-fashioned too, because he never has changed. Never has changed. Never will change. He'll always be the same. Amen. But that's so good because, with his answers, they're the same. With his actions, it's always the same. Everything about God, he is consistent. We strive to be consistent in our school, in our church. You try so hard, but we mess up a lot. But I'm going to tell you, God doesn't ever. He's always consistent. You can count on him all the time. Faithful in consistency. Number 9, he's faithful. We don't like this, but he's faithful in chastening. Boy, I'll tell you, he's faithful. Psalm 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Faithful in his chastening. Now, first of all, notice here, his judgments are right. He's always right. Always right. Parents, you ever stand before your child and say, okay, now you did this and it's wrong, and they look at you and say, no, I wasn't wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. And they'll argue and everything else. Let me tell you something. With God, you're wasting your time arguing. Because his judgments are always right. Always. God doesn't have to say, well, the way I see it, and I've got witnesses, God saw it. He's the only witness needed. He not only saw the action, he sees your mind, your heart, and everything about you. His judgments are always right. But notice, in faithfulness, thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. He's faithful. Let me say this. God doesn't count to 3. God doesn't get to 2 7/8. Okay, God just deals with everything the way he needs to deal with it. He's faithful. Always faithful. You know, some parents, and it drives your kids crazy, I'm telling you, parents. When you're, one day this is wrong and the next day it's not. out a little bit. Yeah, kids are saying, just don't get me spanked, okay? But look, listen, God, he you know, God's faithful about his chastening. God is faithful to deal with it. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That's who he loves. You know, some parent, and parents, this is always, I always get a kid, you know, this is hurting me more than it is you. The kids know better than that. I mean, it's a different kind of hurt, but I think they've got that figured out. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? God chastens us because he loves us. He deals with us because he loves us. One of the hardest, you know, as a pastor, I deal with this often. You know, well, why is God doing this to me? Well, God, could you let him teach you something? Do you know what discipline is? Discipline is teaching. When we discipline our children, it's not, I just have to get this anger out of me. That has nothing to do with, in fact, you're an idiot. I shouldn't say that on Sunday morning. You're a moron. Because that has nothing to do with it. Discipline is teaching. Why do you spank your kid? Well, because I'm just mad. No, then you need to cool off and teach him. Because that's what discipline is. It's teaching. And when God disciplines us, it's not because he's got to let off some steam. It's because he wants to teach us. I'm going to tell you, every time God's chastened me, it's been because he loves me. He knows what's best for me. And he's trying to teach me. It always is to help us. Always. It's always so we can learn something. You know, God's chastening is faithful. He is faithful in that chastening. I tell this story. I remember it very, very well. I don't remember a lot from when I was very young and living in Gas City, Indiana, but I remember this one thing. I remember there being a ditch across the street from where we lived. And I remember that a ditch to a boy, and I'm going to say I was 5 years old to first grade, these memories somewhere in that time. And to a boy, a ditch is like heaven. And the muddier the ditch. And this little ditch, it had water usually running through it. And most of the time, it was mud. And I mean, I loved the ditch. I wanted the ditch. I wanted to live in the ditch. I mean, it was just awesome. But I can clearly remember Mom saying, do not go over to the ditch without me or your father with you. And you say, how do you remember that so well? Because I remember going anyway. And I remember coming in the house, and Mom's always know. She didn't necessarily have to see the mud that I was tracking. She still knew. And I remember getting the fire beat out of me with the red paddle. I have memories, bad memories of the red paddle. But I mean, she and Dad, and you know, this was a constant battle. You don't want me to have fun in the ditch. No, we don't want you to get hit by the cars as you cross the road to go to the ditch. No, you just don't want me to have fun. Does that sound like your teenager? Oh, I was 5. It's amazing how teenagers often sound 5. It's amazing how adults often sound 5. You don't want me to have any fun. I don't want you to get smashed. But you know, I never believed that until the morning I heard the sirens and I walked out the front door and I saw one of my friends laying in the middle of that street. And blood everywhere, having been hit by a car, crossing the street to go to the ditch. And I just remember thinking, you know, I think Mom really does love me. I'm going to tell you something. God chastens you to protect you because he loves you. And he's faithful. You never, ever, okay, we're going to question, we're going to wonder. But the truth of the matter is, we can always trust that it was just. He's faithful in his chastening. Number 10, he's faithful in his care. One of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I love that. He is faithful in his care. What are you talking about, preachers? It's like a teacher who's preparing a test, like a fourth grade math test. Isn't that great? Oh, yeah, fourth grade math. And that teacher is preparing that test and writing down this problem saying, you know, I didn't cover that. I probably won't put that on the test because that wasn't covered this time. I'll include that in the next test, but since we didn't cover it, I didn't explain it well, or they don't quite understand, I'm not going to put that question on there because that wouldn't be right. And that teacher cares. My teachers are all out to get me. It would help if you studied, but anyway. And I think of God when my testing time comes. And he doesn't have to do this, but in my mind, I see him going to the file. In my mind, I see everything pre-computer days. Okay, so pardon me, he's going to a paper file, and he's getting out my file that is real thick. All the good things are that big, and all the bad things are... Anyway, but he gets out my file, and I know it doesn't really happen this way, but I see it this way in my own mind, and he says... Well, I'm not going to allow this to happen. Devil, can't do this. He's not ready for that. Okay, you can do this. He can handle that. And there's some care involved in that. You know, when you say, "I can't go through this," that's not true. It's never true. Are you listening? Huh? It's never true. Because if you are in it, you can go through it. I don't care what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. You say, no, you don't understand. This is too much. It's never too much because he's faithful in his care for us. He'll never allow a temptation to be too much. He'll never allow a situation that can't be escaped. There's always a way. There's always a plan. There's always some way you can escape that ye may be able to bear it. He allows only the test that you can handle. And his care includes that way to escape. It's always there. You cannot ever say this is too hard. Now you might be able to say that with your English teacher. You might be able to say that with a history teacher. But I'm going to tell you something. You can never say that with God. Because he's faithful in his care for you. And if you're in it right now, oh, you don't understand, I've been laid off. You can handle being laid off then. There's something in it. There's a reason. Now you just do right. No, preacher, you know, I went to the doctor and this thing is just too much for me. No, it's not too much for you. Because if it was too much for you, you wouldn't be going through it. Because there's a file. And it's got your records. And that's where you are right now. You're at that level. He's faithful in his care. Number 11, he's faithful in his comfort. Psalm 92, verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every what? Every night. That is so good. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. When are trials most of the time in the Bible? Night. You know, you look at night in the Bible and there's usually a trial. There's usually sorrow. There's usually something going on. And you know how it is. I mean, that's when we're all afraid, right? At night. Don't turn the lights off. I'm scared. You know, whatever it is out there, it's definitely going to get you. And there's things under the bed. Yeah, dust. Amen. There's things in the closet. And there's that unknown of the night. But notice what it says. Thy faithfulness every night. Every night. That means when it's storming at night. That means when it's quiet at night. That means every night. That means... when the trial is huge, he's faithful in his comfort. He is the comforter, paraclete. He's the comforter, the one that's going to comfort and help you. How many times have I known that he was there? Cemeteries, funeral homes. How many times? Hospitals. How many times? Has he been the comfort? How many times have I been with someone, my own father, when he took in his last breath and the little machine went from beeping to a solid beep and God was there? Let me tell you something. He's faithful. You don't have to worry about God being there. You don't have to worry about What's going to happen when I die? He's faithful to comfort us. He's faithful. Number 12, he's faithful in compassion. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. I love these verses. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. By the way, that's what we deserved. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions. He's faithful in compassion. Compassion, he feels what we feel. Bible says he was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. He knows our infirmity. He knows everything that you're... You say, nobody understands me. He does. He understands you. He knows all about you. He knows all about that infirmity. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. And his compassion, it won't fail. He's faithful to have compassion. People can be nasty. People can be terrible. People can say, but I'm going to tell you, God's always compassionate. God always knows what you're going through. He really does understand. You know, a lot of husbands, they'll say, preacher, I don't understand my wife. Give up. Give up. You're not going to understand her, bub. You don't have to understand her. God doesn't say understand her. What's God say? Love her. Yeah, but she's weird. Yeah, compared to you, I suppose you think that. But I'm going to tell you something. Love her. But I can't possibly understand. But there is one who can. And she thinks you're weird too, by the way. And we're weird to each other. But there's one. There's one who knows all about us. You talk to other people and they say, yes, yes, I understand. And you know they don't. You know they don't have a clue. But you go to him and he says, oh, I do understand. And he's faithful. He's faithful in compassion. He'll come right up alongside of you and say, here, put your head on my shoulder. He'll come right up alongside of you and he'll show you the compassion that only he can show because he knows. You say, people are cruel to me. Well, they beat him with the cat of nine tails 39 times, ripped his guts out of him, hung him on a cross. I suppose as they cursed and jeered, I think he can understand when people are doing some things to you. Hey, listen, his compassion, he's faithful. He's faithful. When no one else cares, it's never time to give up because there's one who does care. There's one who does have compassion. Number 13, he's faithful in certainty. Revelation 1 verse 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He's a faithful and true witness. He's faithful in certainty. You know, when God says it, it is Amen. That's it. Somebody said years ago, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Not true. God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, settles it. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in God, but he's real. He's there, and it's true. Well, you say, the Amish in Bern, Indiana, they say, we don't believe in electricity. I say, click. There it is. Amen. Well, I don't believe in God. Look around. He is faithful in certainty. What he says is always, there's no doubt about it, it is always true. Many witness their own way, but he's the faithful witness. What he says is always true. Many, if, for example, if there were an accident out here, and let's say somebody who does body work, they watch the accident, and you say, hey, what happened? They say, the car was demolished. And, you know, they're looking at the dents and the damage and all that of the car. And that's what he's going to see. But then there was another witness out there, and let's it's a nurse. And the nurse is witnessing. She doesn't care about the dumb car. She says, oh, that poor person, they were hit. And I know they're injured in there. That's how she sees it. And notice they're both witnesses, but they see it all differently. And then the insurance adjuster, he sees the accident at the same time. And he's immediately thinking about, how am I going to get out of paying this? No, he's not really thinking that. But see, witnesses see things. God's witness is always true. Whatever he says, that's how it is. And he's observed everything from the very beginning and even before. That gives me a headache. But you know what? It's certain. Somebody says, well, you talk about Jesus coming again. It's certain. It is certain. Whatever he said, it's certain. It is going to happen. Everything. Every part is certain. Number 14, he's faithful in his coming. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called what? Faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Oh, listen, he's coming. He's coming. He's faithful and true. He's coming again. General Douglas MacArthur said to the men of Corregidor in World War II, he said, I will return. Boy, people have used that and used that and used that over and over again. And he did return. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is coming back. He is faithful in his coming. Oh, it's, you know, and more and more people, I don't believe that. And I don't think it's possible. I'll tell you, if you read your Bible and just look at a newspaper today, you'll say, makes you think. But I'm going to tell you, I don't need the newspaper. Because he that sits on the white horse is faithful and true. He's coming. Oh, he's coming. The last thing, number 15, ties right in here. He's faithful in conquering. Yeah, not only is he coming, but the Bible says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. He's faithful in conquering. You know, I've read the end of the story. You say, well, the devil's powerful. He's nothing. God could squash him like a bug today, but he doesn't. God could have squashed him when he cast him out of heaven. Oh, listen, he's faithful in conquering. And all these people are going to get together at the battle called Armageddon, and they're going to have their nukes and their stealth bombers and all this weaponry, and they're going to aim at him on his white horse, and it's going to be like pop guns. And he's faithful in conquering. The Bible says the blood will flow so deep it'll come up to the horse's bridle. Revelation 19, verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That's us. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Glory to God. Not a spot on it. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of thy great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That will happen. He will conquer. He will conquer. Oh, people are so smug today about, yeah, you Christians, we're going to wipe you out. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, no, he will conquer. conquer, it will happen. We are, in fact, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Amen. He's faithful. He's faithful. You sit here today and you say, preacher, I'm about to lose hope, and I just don't know if I... Listen, God's faithful. God's faithful. And you know what? The Bible, it's not based on how you feel. And it's not based on your faith wavering. And it's all based, okay, is he able or not? And then if he is able, which he is he faithful? He's faithful. He's always faithful. And he can be counted on. It's just like today when you sit down to eat your lunch and you start eating, you don't even think about those teeth. You don't even think about, it's fine. Yeah, unless you have a broken one. And then you're worried about it. You're going to walk out of here and you're going to walk and some will run and you won't even think about it. Let me tell you, that's how you need to live your life as a Christian. God's got it all under control. God, I'm just going to do what you say. I'm going to trust you. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.